However, in a new wrinkle, Gordon will still be allowed to participate in practices and team meetings during that suspension, which the league has previously not allowed. In his last close to full season, Gordon led the NFL in receiving yards with 1,646 in 2013, despite only playing in 14 games that year. Washington linebacker Junior Gallette is going to miss the entire 2016 season after tearing the Achilles in his right ankle during a football workout this weekend. Gallette missed all of last season because of a torn Achilles in his other ankle, so back-to-back years with torn Achilles in both ankles now. For Junior Gallette, the NFL continues to try and get tough on their concussion protocol, with the league and Players Association announcing yesterday that a new set of punishments for teams that violate the protocol is coming in. The first violation can result in a fine for a team in the range of $50,000 to $150,000, or even a loss of draft picks. Commissioner Roger Goodell is also given the authority with the new punishments to make the penalty more severe if it is determined that the violation was done for, quote, competitive reasons. And the Atlanta Falcons, as we mentioned earlier, have released return specialist Devin Hester, 20 career return touchdowns in his NFL career, including 14 punt returns for touchdowns, the most in the history of the National Football League.
Right, 5 kickoff returns. And as a couple of people reminded us, one on the text line, one on Twitter, might have been more, but we appreciate those folks weighing in that Devin Hester also returned a field goal, missed field goal, 108 yards for a touchdown.
Sunday night or Monday night football? I know it was in the spotlight.
Bottom line, the guy has 20 return touchdowns in his career. He is 33. He's not healthy right now. And you can always make the case with guys that are reaching towards the end of their career and have started to get injured that, hey, the team that had him knows what he was capable of. If they don't want him, why should we want him? I want him. I'm interested in finding out the health status of Devin Hester and his desire to play more football and, where he is in terms of his health and all those things. Tony, he just has it when it comes to having the ball in his hands. I mean, honestly, punt returns, I think Rashad Greene is off to a good start, but, Devin Hester or Corey Grant? I know, look, youth and all this stuff. You got one of the all-timers out there, the all-timers. And Rashad Greene could have a significant role on offense as well. I don't know. You want to talk about kicking the tires. There are tires to be kicked on Devin Hester. What you got, Tyler?
Oh, we got an update for tomorrow's show. I was trying to get Keenan McCardell for today, but he will join us tomorrow at 10:20 to talk about his friend Jimmy.
Excellent. Jimmy Smith, if you missed it at the top of the program, will be inducted into the Jaguars Ring of Honor. I think December 11th is the date of that game. As somebody pointed out, it might have been fitting to do it against Denver, right, when Denver came in here and just get a little mojo going and some vibes from 96 and 97. And hey, that would have been fine too, but does it really matter? I don't think it does.
They try to put that the alumni game. They try to put it in one of the weeks late in the year where it may not be an opponent that they feel like is going to sell a bunch of tickets anyway. And the Vikings may fit that bill a little bit more than the Broncos.
I guess that's a pretty good team. That's a playoff team coming in, and I definitely think you're right that it'll be easier sell for the Broncos earlier in the season. And as the defending Super Bowl champs, I think the Vikings is an attractive game. Adrian Peterson coming in, if you're just like a casual Jag fan or you're an NFL fan, how many chances do you get to see Adrian Peterson in person, right? So, one of the all-time great running backs.
I'm with you.
I do think that they would have an easier time selling tickets to the Denver game. So, yeah, I would use that in that capacity as well, probably, if I were the Jags. Bottom line, in the end, it's not going to matter all that much.
No.
Jimmy's going to be here. He's going to be honored for his accomplishments, 11 team records, which he still currently holds. And we hope we'll be able to catch up with Jimmy before the week is out as well.
Hopefully, December 11th, this is a team that's pushing for a playoff spot. And they're not having to concern themselves with whether or not they're filling up the stadium.
Good
December
point.
I mean, hopefully this is the year where that turning point has been reached and we get to December 11th. And this, while it's an NFC opponent, so it's not going to affect their record in the AFC, is a game that is hopefully about playoff positioning for this Jacksonville Jaguars team.
Yes. All right. If you'd like to get in, 641-1010. Coming back, Jimmy Smith was on a conference call this morning. I don't know if that's done over at the stadium or not.
Still ongoing.
Still ongoing. All right. So, when we can, we'll get some of that audio turned around and you'll get to hear what Jimmy had to say, and I'm sure he's very grateful. He is, you heard him, 3-4 weeks ago on the program, and, really seemed to be in a good frame of mind, and this is not going to do anything to hurt that. So, congrats to Jimmy Smith, and hopefully we'll hear from him. If not on this program, I'm sure you certainly will later today on Midday Chalk and the Frank Frangie Show and others throughout the course of the afternoon. We got plenty of audio still from Blake Bortles as well from yesterday as he ushered in the beginning of training camp. The vets will all be in tomorrow. They'll be out on the practice field on Thursday. Fat Tony and I will be out there in attendance broadcasting live on the Florida Blue practice field, so we hope to see all of you SIGs and ticket holders out there as well.
One quick nugget coming out from the Jimmy Smith conference call. Amanda Borders just tweeted this out. This is pretty amazing. When Jimmy was Jimmy almost didn't answer the call from Shad Khan this morning. Shad personally called Jimmy to tell him the news, and Jimmy said he almost didn't answer the call from Shad because he didn't recognize the number.
So, wow.
He's screening the calls and almost hung up or declined a Shad Khan call.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't recognize the number either. Shad doesn't call me up very often, so I wouldn't recognize it. I don't have him saved into my contacts, but that is kind of funny. But eventually, I guess he just figured, all right, 904. I'm guessing, well, Shad might not be a 904, right? He probably is not, actually. I don't know what Shad's number is.
He's got his own area code.
He might, right?
He's probably got a single
digit. Shad.
He's just like number six.
S-H-A-D. Just push those four numbers. Klondike, Shad. All right, coming back, we'll hear a little bit from Blake Bortles, and you're welcome to chime in if you like as well. Question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships is this. For the Jaguars heading into training camp, what is the most important thing for the Jags to get accomplished during that time period? You can tweet us or post on Facebook, or the text line's been blowing up as it typically does as well. Kickoff return specialist on the text line devalued due to rule changes on the kickoff. Hester not worth the cost. How do you know what he costs? I mean, what if he wants to play for veteran minimum just to keep playing in the National Football League? How do you know that?
Well, yeah, it is interesting. I'm looking at his stats. 2 years ago when he had the completely healthy year, 18 punt returns, 240 yards and a touchdown. He had 45 kick returns for 1,100 yards. Last year, only had 17 returns total between punt and kick. So it's just, you're not getting a whole lot of opportunities last year. Now, he only played in five games last year for the Falcons, so didn't have a whole lot of opportunities, just wasn't healthy enough.
But his last healthy year... 17 opportunities in five games is not terrible.
But his last healthy year, he led the league in kick return yardage. He had a punt return for a touchdown. He averaged 13 yards a punt return. So the last time that Devin Hester was healthy, he was still a dynamic return guy.
Right. I just, look, it's probably a pipe dream. Is not going to happen. And Rashad Greene is as exciting a return man as they've had already since Reggie Barlow, in my eyes. So, look, I'm not trying to limit his chances. I'm just thinking, boy, if you have a chance to have the all-time best, if he still has something in the tank, I'm not saying sign him sight unseen, but investigate the situation a little bit deeper. And look, they do their due diligence, which is an overused term in reference to these kind of things a lot. But they do work their way through it, as you see with Dave Caldwell talking with Greg Hardy last week. Just keeping up on, what's going on in any player that may be of interest to the Jags roster. Coming back, we'll hear from Blake Bortles. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Strength and courage.
Sooner or later, every man shows himself.
Honor and loyalty.
Sort of like a team.
This is 1010XL.
Partners?
Partners.
92.5 FM.
This is the quarterback here at Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All right, so tomorrow, Tyler, you're telling me Keenan McCardell and Cap, Old City Cap.
It's a good guest list.
Runner of head of the Bold City Brigade.
Apparently they have a big event with Blake coming up at the end of the month. That's really cool, so we'll talk about that on the show tomorrow.
And if you're listening right now, you're thinking, why did I wait till tomorrow to tune in to this program?
The BCB Ball. Yeah, they announced it. So we'll have Cap in to talk about it a little bit.
Yes, we will. And we'll have Cap, we'll have Keenan, and who knows, maybe we'll get Jimmy Smith in the next day or so as well. His conference call going on for an extended period of time over at Everbank today, a media conference call, so you'll hear a lot in your various Jaguar reporting outlets about his thoughts on his invitation to be inducted into the Pride of the Jaguars in December, which I'm quite sure he accepted. So there you go. He'll be the fourth player, sixth overall person, along with Wayne and Dolores Weaver, to go into the Pride of the Jaguars. Tyler, I do need from you, please, because I was so distracted by you wearing my second grade shirt today that I forgot to ask you about the Pokemon Go Safari yesterday at Everbank, and to give us, from your perspective, how things went.
If you guys were out there, I don't think I've sweated that much in my life in years. It was very, very hot, and you get, 15,000 people was the number that I heard thrown out earlier this morning. You get 15,000 people standing in line with the sun beating down on them. Ooh, it's an exhausting experience.
I saw D-Rock said that the line went all the way, through Lot J and back, looping through the lot and back
to
again.
The baseball stadium.
Right.
Yeah. I left. I stood in line for about 35 minutes. I got in line at 6, right when the gates opened. I didn't get into the stadium until about 6:35. I walked around for about 15 minutes, and it was so hot, and we were walking so slow. I think what the problem there with the whole event last night was there were so many people. Maybe they didn't feel prepared or expect that many people, because there were a lot of people that got in line and that turned around because it was so crowded. But it was a cool experience to see that many people out there just to catch Pokemon.
People love their freaking Pokemon.
They do. And right? It sounded like they may be doing this again. When
like
the
every
gets
Sunday.
Started.
Why wouldn't I mean, honestly, you got 15,000 people born. Yeah. If you made it, would this, and I don't know if this is doable. I don't live in the world of Pokemon Go. It's your world, fine. Whatever. Probably fortunately for all of you, I think, because I would collect them all. But is there a way, they can create Pokemon to be there, right? There's a way, obviously, because they people were coming to collect them. How else would they be there unless they could generate them somehow?
That was my assumption, because I did get in the elevator to leave, and the lady's like, oh, this is level 2, where the Poliwagon and the Squirtles are, and level 3 is where this and this are. So apparently they did have a setup where each level of Everbank had specific Pokemon. But
in all seriousness, would this be something that would entice people to buy tickets that otherwise would not on game day? Like, you could show up and get one exclusive Pokemon that you could only get for those 3 hours during the game at Everbank.
Maybe create a Bortlesaurus, something like that?
Maybe. I don't know. Is that are those things you can do? You can create your own kinds? I don't know.
I will say you did have 15,000 people in the stadium last night. I did hear from multiple people on the line, those club seats look nice.
Oh, yeah?
I heard that from a lot of people online
last
night.
Was Pikachu sitting in one of them?
No, he was not. He was not in the club seats. But, man, those club seats are beautiful.
I have not. Have you been in? Have you
I didn't see them from the inside? Seeing them from afar, just the whole setup right down the middle, it does look a little strange with them being different colors, but that looks like a cool area to be in during
games. We got to check that out when we get back over there this week in a couple of days. So that'll be it. 2 days from now, we'll be back. What, Gus Bradley show back on Thursday?
Back on
if
Thursday.
If I'm not mistaken, right? So they got to have that studio cranking. Oh, there.
Gus
is not going to schlep over here to 1010XL World Headquarters, is he? He wants to walk right down the hall and plop in there with Loggeman and Company and knock that thing out. All right, let's hear from Blake Bortles on what he had to say. And it's become an off-season refrain now. Blake, did you get some work in with the quarterback throwing guru, Tom House? He did once again. And what did he try to get accomplished with him this year?
It was cool because, I went out to California and threw with Tom and those guys and then went from there to Tahoe. So it was good. Yeah, it's definitely something you look forward to every year because they do a really good job.
Been a week out there with Tom?
Yeah, it was 6 days, I think, we were there. Me and my brother went out there and went through with Tom in Orange County.
It's a little bit different visit this year than last year, right?
Yeah.
Less tinkering.
Right, yeah, just kind of fine-tuning things, not really changing a whole lot, just kind of making sure everything's in check and ready to go for camp.
Yeah, I mean, last year, Tony, by all indications, the mechanics really held up for him. So it seemed that work seemed to pay off for Blake Bortles.
No doubt, considering there were serious concerns when he got in here for his rookie year about the mechanical side of what was going on with Blake Bortles. And the gamer side has been there since he got here, and the mechanics have to come with it if he's going to succeed at the highest level that he wants to. Blake Bortles also yesterday talking a little bit about all the wide receivers, but specifically Marquise Lee.
These OTAs were really the first time he's been healthy for an extended period of time, and I thought he was awesome. I thought, with Hearns and A-Rob both kind of taking days off here and there and recovering and rehabbing, I think him and Rashad Green got a chance to do a lot more, and I thought they both looked really good. I thought Marquise is obviously an unbelievable explosive athlete when you get on the ball. So I think, as long as he's able to stay healthy, we can definitely use him.
Absolutely. And that's been the big question on everybody's mind. Will he stay healthy? Only time will give you that answer now, as we're less than 7 weeks away from the kickoff of the regular season. How will Blake Bortles define whether or not 2016 is a successful season?
We'll find out, I guess. Going into the camp, it was, I think two things for me as a group would be starting fast and consistency would be my two things going into this camp. That I think, I want to work on specifically, and I think it could help our offense as well. And then, result driven, I don't know if you put a number on it. I don't know if you can. I think we'll know at the end of the season, or you know, after each game, you know, how we feel about it. And you know, I think as long as we go through kind of the cliche answer, as long as we go through our process and do, you know, what we believe is the right preparation and process, I think, you know, what happens on Sunday will take care of itself.
Huh?
I love how, like, halfway through the answer he said, basically, he warned you. Now we're getting into the cliche part of my answer.
Let's do what we're take care of our business, Tony. I figured would feature
results
in there.
Oriented, and we'll find out at the end of the season or after. Yeah,
you if you won the
game,
work.
Yeah, if you won the game, it was a successful whatever you did.
Like, typically,
if you lost the game, then maybe you want to measure your personal success, but probably not. This is a team that's probably getting past that.
At least not at publicly, right?
Right. Blake Bortles, we're asking fans today on the Fan Feedback Spotlight, you know, what they're looking for out of training camp. Blake Bortles talked a little bit yesterday for himself what he wants to get out of this training camp.
To be able to kind of develop a level of consistency, I think, is what, you know, we as an offense are kind of focused on. You know, I thought last year we did some things, you know, the numbers and stuff that we were able to put up, but, you know, I didn't think we did it consistently. So being able to do that and execute. And I think another thing is, you know, we've talked about as a group and, you know, sitting down with Ole, is we want to start a game the way we usually come out and start the second half. You know, we seem to be a team that kind of plays two different total halves. So find a way to start, you know, whether you have to think about it as being down in the fourth quarter or, you know, whatever mindset you have to take. We need to start the game faster than we did all last year.
This is Blake Bortles at the podium yesterday. Did I see 25 first quarter points? Is that what I saw?
That's all he scored last year?
That seems incredibly low, right?
It does. You play 16 games.
I was reading this morning? You read everything, and that crossed my eyes, and it was talking about Blake's development, and man, I can't remember what it was. That does seem exceedingly low, right? I mean, that seems exceptionally low, but if there are any quarter you're going to believe that stat from, it would be the first, based on last year. We'll dig in and see if we can get the breakdown by quarters from last season. Let's get back to Blake Bortles yesterday, talking about the combination of Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns and what Blake feels is the next step in their development.
You know, I think just kind of taking it to another level. I think, you know, our first year, we were kind of figuring it out. And last year, and, you know, the first year in Ole's system, I thought there were some good things that we did. But I think being able to take it to the next level and kind of doing things that you see, you know, guys, you know, older quarterbacks with older receivers that, you know, have been together for a long time and you can just tell they're on the same page. I think being able to do stuff like that on another level.
I wonder if Blake is getting tired of getting questions yet about the offensive line, specifically Brandon Linder, because that's certainly been a point of conversation throughout this entire offseason. But again, yesterday he was asked about the relationship that he's developing with Brandon Linder.
He's been good. You know, he's obviously an unbelievable offensive lineman. I think everybody knows that, and I don't think it was going to be, you know, a challenge for him to switch over. It was just going to, you know, a matter of time until he started feeling comfortable with it. And I think he picked it up really quickly. I think mentally was probably the biggest question mark, and he did a good job with it. You know, he spent a lot of time on it, worked hard, and I think is going to have a good year.
All right, a couple more here from Blake Bortles. Tony, jumping ahead, Bortles asked yesterday, what is more important to the offense, knowing that everything is important, right? But what is more important, the improved running game or having Julius Thomas healthy for 16 games? Here's what he said.
I think both are huge. I think we're going to be as good as our running game is. I think, you know, last year we were forced to throw the ball, I think, maybe a little bit more. Ole might have a better idea, maybe a little bit more than planned, you know, either because we weren't running the ball well and we're behind the chains or down in the game or whatever the case may be. And I think Julius staying healthy is huge too, because what he does to a defense helps us out. I mean, if we can have the running game rolling, everybody healthy, I think we'll be tough to stop.
Another big conversation piece throughout this offseason and really through the first couple of years of Blake's career has been that completion percentage and that number needing to come up. He's a guy who's obviously willing to take those shots downfield. They paid huge dividends for this team last year. But that completion percentage, that number needs to come up for Blake Bortles to get to the kind of level he wants to. He talked about that yesterday.
I think accuracy is obviously a part of it. I think decision-making is a part of it. I think timing, getting balls out when they're supposed to be out and on time. And I think, you know, kind of continuing to get on the same page. But I think, you know, that going into the second year, the, you know, whatever, that one one-hundredth of a second – of a decision that gets made quicker helps out a lot. So I think hopefully that'll take care of some of it. And I think also starting the game, you know, we were in, you know, me specifically, it was kind of became normal to start slow every game, start 1-for-10 or 2-for-7 or whatever it was. So I think coming out, you know, taking what the defense gives you, you know, within our game plan and what we're trying to do, and kind of playing for completions.
All right, there you go, Blake Bortles. Yesterday, you'll hear tons more from him all throughout training camp. He'll probably speak about once a week. It's the typical schedule for him. Tony, I've made it through the December 6th game against the Titans from last year, and if my calculations are correct, the Jags scored, at that point, December 6th this was, I think that was the 13th game of the year, they'd scored 32 first quarter points. That's pathetic.
That's really bad.
So it's a little bit higher. The season total is a little bit higher than 25, but it's not going to be much higher than 25. Just too many down 7-0, down 3-0, down 14-3, down whatever. Always down at the end of the first quarter. In fact, if you go through, they're tied with the Panthers in week one. They were ahead of the Dolphins, and they scored 10 of those 32 in week two against Miami. They were down 10-0 against the Patriots at the end of one. They were tied with the Colts 3-3. They're down to the Bucks 3-0. They were down to the Texans 7-0. They were down to the Bills 3-0. They're down to the Jets 14-3. They're down to the Ravens, or excuse me, they're up on the Ravens 7-0 in that game. The Titans had them 3-0. The Chargers, the Jags led the Chargers 6-0, and then they trailed the Titans with 7-0. At least through those 13 games. Did you find the last three?
35 points total for the Jags in
35.
The first quarter.
So they added a field goal over the final 3 weeks of the season.
They got a field goal at the last Indy game.
So it's either I misread it or maybe it was a misprint because I thought it was 25. But either way, 35 isn't exactly that much more inspiring.
You're averaging 2 points a quarter.
Points for the first quarter for the entire season is not going to get it done. And they know that. And look, hopefully they come out and whatever that formula is, we talked about it a lot. Do you want to go maybe hurry up, you know, which they did at the end of the first half a lot and seemed to have success doing it. And I guess the feeling was, well, if you do and you go through three and out, you're handing it off to a defense that is one of the worst in franchise history and you're not stopping anybody. So it might be a little bit self-defeating. Maybe with the addition of talent on the defensive side of the football, it does free them up to be more aggressive early in football games in terms of kind of going no huddle and things like that. All right, we will continue along with a look at the fan feedback spotlight today, asking you about the Jags and what they need to accomplish. What would be the most important thing for the Jaguars to get accomplished during training camp? It's the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. We'll check in on Twitter and on Facebook, see what your replies were to that as well. 641-1010. If you want to get in on the text line, driven by Duval Ford, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, it's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Life without sports says something missing. Find it here. 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, here we go. The Jags continue to look into those first quarter stats from last year, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
What was the scoring margin? 76-35, Tyler?
76-35 after the first quarter.
Yeah, and they trailed 10 times after the first quarter, even three, and led in three games as well. One of those was the Miami game, which they went on to win. Another of those was
the Baltimore game.
The Baltimore game, which they're up 7-0. So those were two wins. And the other time they led in the first quarter is eluding me.
San Diego.
Is it San? Oh, okay. They
6-0. Yeah.
Did they win that game?
Two drives that ended with field goals that should have probably ended up in the end zone.
Right. Oh, that's right. That's right. And they lose that one 31-25. So okay. So wow, three leads. But that goes to show two out of the three times they led, they went on to win. I don't think that's a big enough sample size to indicate, you know, but it's at least marginally headed in the right direction.
And if you want to look at the bright side of any statistic, if they had been able to keep up that kind of pace defensively, they would have only given up something like 18 points a game. It's probably their best defensive quarter.
That's a good call. Jimmy Smith down today at, or not down today, but doing a conference call with the media down at EverBank. Today, what do you have to say, Tyler? You set us up. What are we listening to?
We've got two of them here. Jimmy had a long opening statement. It's a minute and a half long, but Jordan DeArmond says it's really good stuff. So,
all right, this is Jimmy on just basically talking about, I guess, his feelings and taking the call from Shad Khan, finding out this morning that he will be inducted in the Pride of the Jaguars this December.
Man, extremely grateful, extremely thankful of being inducted into the Pride. I'm definitely proud and emotional right now. It's been a long time coming. Had a lot of ups and downs, but I persevered to thank God for my life right now. It's not the end, but it's a new beginning. You know, first I want to thank the owner, Shad Khan, for calling me personally and letting me know that he's decided to induct me in the Pride. And I'm very thankful to the Jag Nation for supporting me all these years when I was scoring touchdowns and my off-the-field issues. I'm just happy that God has allowed me to be resilient and persevere and show that you can turn your life around and still be on top. I also like to thank Coach Coughlin for being a second father to me and helping me through those tough days. I'd like to thank my boy Keenan for, you know, for being my sidekick all those years. I'd like to thank Mark Brunell. I'd like to thank Fred Taylor. I'd like to thank Tony Baselli. Excuse me, guys, my phone is beeping, but I'd like to thank Tony Baselli. I'd like to thank the Weavers and the entire Jag Nation and even you guys. Thank you.
Not us. We weren't on the call.
Even us media.
Yes.
Jacks.
Even you guys. All right. As Jimmy said, a little emotional about that. He was asked, I don't know what the context is, Tyler, on this next cut here.
I believe it was kind of like, how sweet is it to get into the Pride after you had the off-the-field issues and you turned your life back around and still had a successful season or a successful career? And this is what Jimmy's response was to his off-the-field issues and still getting into the Pride.
You know, God has a plan for us all, man. And this is lately. It just seemed like since I turned my life over to God, I've been getting like these gifts from God, and this is one of them. And I think it's the timing is perfect because had I not gone through some of the off the field issues, I wouldn't be the person that I am today. I've definitely matured and learned from my mistakes and able to help that other guy who may be struggling with the same issues that I've struggled with in my life. And this could be an inspiration to that someone else.
All right, and then finally, Jimmy, talking overall what he thinks this means to him.
I think being in the Pride represents what you do in the community, how you treat people, how you engage people. I feel like it's my job when I see someone, regardless of where I am in this world, I try to engage them and make their day rather than the opposite. And just having a relationship with God, I just now gave my life over to God, Pastor T.D. Jakes in Texas, and I'm just loving life right now, guys.
Good for him. I hope it keeps up for Jimmy in that regard. Like we said, last time we talked to him maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, Tony, sounded really good.
Yeah.
And really excited to be coming back down here. And at the time, didn't know that he'd be going into the Pride. Maybe had hoped that he'd get the call this year. And as Tyler told us, he passed along this morning at the conference, almost didn't get the call because he didn't recognize that number from Shad Khan. So now you got it. Save it in there, and you'll know the next time Shad gives you a ring. Somebody said the 847 is probably the likely one on the text line. That's Illinois. And I don't know if that covers all of Illinois, but that's where I'm guessing where Shad's number originates from. So make a note of that. All you Jags fans out there are hoping to be adopted like I am
That's a northern Chicago area code.
Is that what it is?
I don't think he lives in northern Chicago. He's a Champaign guy, right?
Right. I don't know the geography of Illinois.
Champaign's south of Chicago, so he probably wouldn't have a Chicago.
Wouldn't have the 847.
No.
All right.
I don't think that matters.
Scratch that, Jimmy. let us all study the Illinois area codes on the off chance that Shad Khan wants to take us for a ride on the yacht. All right. Today, Fan Feedback Spotlight asked you, what is the most important thing the Jaguars can get accomplished in training camp, or what is the most important thing for them to get accomplished? Tony, what do we get on Twitter?
Here's what we got from Allison: develop chemistry. From Johnny: Bortles needs to show improvement in decision-making. He actually talked about that just a few moments ago. We heard from him from yesterday. From Chris: for the defense to keep building chemistry now that Ramsey is able to practice, they need to gel.
From Jags and Goats, find five to protect the franchise. Hashtag JagsCamp16. From Spaz Gator, no new injuries. From Black Dog Express, relentless stifling quarterback pressure. Hashtag pure meanness. From Jarrell, offensive line cohesion. From Cameron, installing the run game takes the pressure off Blake, A-Rob, Hearns, Thomas to make every play. And from BCB Batman, easy teamwork, duh. Next question, Sips OJ.
They'll get another question tomorrow. How about that? Kenny on Facebook said the number one thing in training camp is focus on keeping everyone healthy. Many said that, especially the offensive line. If we can get Bortles time to connect with a healthy Julius Thomas and a healthy Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson, it'll be hard to stop. Dalton said, to remain healthy. Couldn't imagine how devastated Jag fans would be if a player such as Ramsey, Jack, or Fowler got hurt for a prolonged period of time. Chad Cox said, pass rush, more communication, better coverage in the secondary. In other words, defense, defense, defense. Damon went with obtaining chemistry on defense as well. A lot of people saying healthy. Cohesiveness on both sides of the line of scrimmage, said James. And then Gregory went with, got to see what Fowler can do in pads. One of the keystone players, I believe, this season. Athleticism will only take him so far. I want to see what kind of pass rush moves he's able to add to his arsenal. I don't know what his arsenal, you know, I'll be honest with you, I don't know what moves he's got. We'll find out. Tony, I think the encouraging thing for Dante Fowler Jr. is that he didn't miss anything due to health reasons all summer long. He was able to participate. You know, they were cautious with him with the brace, but he is far removed now from tearing that ACL, well over a year now, so you should be good to go, knock on wood, if no further setbacks for Dante Fowler. And there's just not going to be, are there? There's not going to be. This is the year they're going to get through training camp relatively healthy, right? There's going to be somebody that gets hurt. It's going to be somebody that would have been on the outside looking in at that 53-man roster, Tony. I'm trying to put good thoughts out into the cosmos here.
Look, someone's going to get hurt, right? I mean, it's football, and they're going to be playing it for the next 3 weeks. And what happens when you play football is people get injured. And I was reading an article on ESPN today trying to predict the bounce-back team for the upcoming season. And one of the things they look at is, you know, the injuries that a team suffers. And apparently the Giants have been the most injured team in football for the past 3 years running now. And you've seen them. They just haven't met that level of success that they need. It's important to stay healthy. And I don't know that there's anything that you can do, you know, on your staff to make sure the guys are going to be more healthy, except expose them less.
I don't know, though. If you're the most injured team 3 years in a row, I might consider the training staff. Maybe,
well, apparently
maybe
they,
along with Coughlin.
They decided their coach was gone.
Shuffled out, right.
It's what they did.
Maybe he wasn't working with a full deck.
Look, who knows? And obviously, injury status is a big deal. It's very important for any football team, and the Jags look like they're relatively healthy. Caldwell mentioned yesterday that Sendarek Marks is coming back. Jalen Ramsey is coming back. Beecham's going to be on the field for the first time for this football team. So they're a team that is getting healthier right now, and we'll see what happens over the course of the next 3 weeks, but hopefully nothing bad on the injury front for this franchise. It would be nice to get through one camp without having to deal with that.
Yes, it would. Tomorrow, Bold City Cap, Keenan McCardell, both on the program joining us live. Cap will be in studio tomorrow, so if you're looking to knock him off, show up at 9090 Hogan Road.
Yeah.
That's where you'll be.
Gus
able to
Bradley
get him.
Talking tomorrow, too. At the opening training camp.
That's right.
So we'll have that as well.
Hopefully, if he talks early enough, we'll have some of that later on in the program tomorrow as well, and more from Dave Caldwell and others throughout the course of the week. And I'm sure you'll hear more from Jimmy Smith from his media press conference, his conference call today. And maybe even somebody will get him on live later on this afternoon. We reach out to Jimmy. It didn't work out timing-wise with our program today, but if you're going to hear him anywhere, it's likely going to be right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. That'll do it for Jaguars today. 2 days away from the team being on the field for the first time for training camp 2016. Very excited about that. So that'll wrap it up here. Thanks to Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato for Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey wrapping things up today. Thanks to Jordan DeArmond helping us out behind the scenes today as well. And congrats to Jimmy Smith for getting the notice that he will be inducted into the Pride of the Jaguars in December. Again, Keenan McCardell, Bold City Cap on with us tomorrow. That's then. Got the Midday Chalk next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
That's great job.
You guys have a good day. Peace.